All right, guys, welcome back to Fanatics here on 1460 KXNO. Coming to you from Ames. Been a busy day up here. Thanks to Mitch for stepping up and filling in there, and Ross, of course. Iowa State opened up its fall camp today. So that's going on. And then they also have their big basketball reunion that Steve Prohm is, with all due respect, Prohm loves this thing. He's obsessed with this thing. He's fired up, and he's excited, and that's going on. So it's cool. We're up here interviewing all these legends, really, Iowa State basketball legends. They're all in Ames for the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that, but the news today is Matt Campbell and his opening remarks of his press conference. Travis Hines is here with me. I pulled Hinesy from the Ames Tribune away for a couple of minutes. I'm sure you guys have heard it so far on the show. Campbell opened up his media availability today by, I don't know, did he address Ohio State? He addressed the fact that he's not going to address Ohio State, but he basically said, don't ask me about other jobs.
Yeah, I thought he handled it probably in the best way that he could. I
mean, yeah, me too.
Not to get into too much like navel-gazing media here, but like that was an impressive way to step up into the moment, which, you know, the bar is relatively low because no one's really expecting him to say much. But what he did say, I thought, is certainly going to reassure Iowa State fans. And, you know, if dominoes do fall a certain way where he's a coach in Columbus next year, you can't look at back in that and say Matt Campbell lied on August 3rd, 2018. So I think he handled it as deftly as he could, and I'm sure his fans and the Iowa State fan base liked what he said. I'm sure his bosses in this building, the Jacobson building, liked what he said. And probably most importantly, the guys in the locker room over at the Bergstrom football complex, I'm sure appreciated what he said.
Yeah, I thought it was really smart for him just to get out in front of it, because you know that, well, let's just say in a world Iowa State starts 3-0 this year, and in Ohio State as an interim coach, this is not going to go away. And now at least Campbell can – he can look the media in the eye every Monday or Tuesday, whenever it's going to be this year, and say, hey, I told you guys on the first day of camp, I'm not going to talk about other jobs. And, you know, that's really all you can do.
Absolutely, because the thing is he can say that, and he's still going to get asked the question. You know, if Urban Meyer gets fired in 2 weeks, Campbell's going to get asked about it in 2 weeks, and he can say, I told you I'm not going to talk about it, and we can, you know, all either accept that or keep asking. I don't ever really expect to get much of an answer from him, which is totally reasonable and expectable. So he had to address it in some way, shape, or form today. I thought it was smart to just get out and say what he said before he even got asked the question, because it let him kind of control what he wanted to say rather than get peppered with four or five questions.
Yeah.
You know, and we circled back around to it and got basically, again, what I expected to hear. So it'll be interesting. I thought he handled it really well. It'll be interesting to see how it gets handled if they start out 5-0 or if they start out 4-2 and like the questions keep coming. Eventually, the patience, I would imagine, will run out. But, you know, that's something we'll find out here in the coming weeks.
That's like anything. I mean, by the end of the year, the coach is always annoyed with the media, rightfully so. I probably will be too.
I'm annoyed with the media by the end of the year.
It's a give and take thing. You know, here's what's interesting about this to me, and you and I, we kind of touched on this when this whole Urban Meyer thing was breaking the other day, but it was still very fresh radio because, I mean, that was literally all happening as we were live on the air. But I thought we both touched on it fairly well, and I'm still convinced, like, I think Campbell's a great candidate for that job should it ever come open. I don't think Ohio State would make a mistake by trying to hire Matt Campbell. He's an Ohio guy, he's got the pedigree in that state, all that stuff. But he's still, I don't think, has a resume for Ohio State. And, I for this to even be a conversation, so many things have to happen. And what if he goes 6-6 this year? Vegas has the line for Iowa State at 6.5. It's not like the expectations here. And I know a lot of fans probably, 10 wins. But that is not a realistic expectation of this team. That would be exceeding the realistic expectations, which he did last year. So there's reason to believe he could do it again. I just think that for this to even be a real deal at the end of the 2018 season, he's got to exceed those expectations again.
Yeah, I wrote this in my column today that I hope everybody goes and reads at amestrib.com.
Amestrib.com.
That if Matt Campbell were to get hired at Ohio State, it would be a hire on potential. It would not be a hire on track record. Even if Matt Campbell has a strong track record, it's not a very long track record as a 38-year-old head coach. Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, USC, they don't often hire on potential. They hire on track record. So like that to me is the number one thing you look at if you're Jamie Pollard or you're an Iowa State fan just trying to make it through this season, is that that by itself makes this unlikely, because these teams, these programs don't deal with risk if they can avoid it. And Matt Campbell, is even if you are a true believer in Matt Campbell, it's undeniable that he carries more risk with him than some of these other more established coaches that have won national championships or have won league titles. You know, you look at when you're talking about Bob Stoops or Mike Vrabel, or just go on down the line of coaches that are going to get named with this. Campbell's done less than those guys, which isn't to say he can't do more in the future. But when Ohio State's looking at this and when they're having to make a decision that is literally a multi-million dollar decision, tens of millions of dollars decision, not just in contract money, but in how much money they have tied up in their football program and their athletic departments, which are driven by football. Do they want to take a chance on a guy that has literally only been in Power 5 football for 3 years? Do they want to do that? I would think that unless they strike out with those tier one guys, the answer is going to be no. Now, if they got to go to Matt Campbell, I think will be a very, very strong tier two candidate. When he's a tier two candidate, you've got a strong pool. But that to me is, if I'm Ohio State, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I think with Ohio State, I don't think they're going to strike out much, because I think the guys that they're going to talk to are going to be ones who genuinely want the job.
It's a top three job in the country.
Yeah, this is even different than like Wisconsin after Bielema, right? Because they missed on Paul Rhodes, I'm pretty sure. I mean, and they had to drop down to Gary Anderson. Like, this is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, they're two different sports. I mean, Wisconsin and Ohio State are, like, the pedigree there is just not even remotely considerable. And I think even Wisconsin now is probably a top 15 job.
Yeah, but gotten better.
But you look at the difference between a top 3 and a top 5 job versus a top 10 and a top 20 job. It's just there's just a massive chasm between those, between the super rich, the 1% of the 1% versus even the top 5%.
All right. Travis Hines is with me. We're up here in Ames today all day with coverage of the Cyclones. A couple of actual football stories that I wanted to touch on. I'll give some observations from the opening practice, but Hines, I don't think that he's going to give us the name of an offensive coordinator by kickoff. I really don't. I would not be surprised if we are there the first week of the first game and Matt Campbell hasn't publicly named an offensive coordinator. I don't think we're going to.
I agree. I don't think there is an offensive coordinator. At least
it's just so bizarre. I'm not even saying it's wrong, but I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and this is going to be written about a lot, but I think I'm with you. I don't think there's going to be a traditional offensive coordinator. I'm a little perplexed why they're kind of being cagey about it. I don't really get, like, if that's the case, say we're not going to have an offensive coordinator, I'm going to call plays just like Lincoln Riley and you know, Gary Patterson on defense and on down the line. I'm not really following the logic here, other than coaches can be weird about the way that they give out information. But I'm with you. I think Iowa State is either not going to have an offensive coordinator, or at least no one's going to be listed as offensive coordinator in your game day programs, which is, like, to use your word, it's bizarre.
Never seen anything like it. I mean, my guess, and it was hard to tell today because, one, they weren't calling plays. Joel Gordon is the quarterback's coach. He looks to be as involved as anybody, but it's also kind of deceiving because he's lined up next to the quarterbacks, which is, you know, right into the middle of the action where Brian Gasser is out with the wide receivers. I think you throw Alex Golish into the mix. I mean, I've heard stories of the Oklahoma game last year. You know, they're preparing for that game with their third string quarterback. We all know how that story played out, but then I've heard, like, stories of those guys, Gasser, Golish, Manning, and Campbell, camping out here the entire week, like sleeping in the football complex, working on game plans until like 2-3 in the morning. And I guess the only reason I even point that out is I think it shows that it was kind of a team thing a year ago. I think it kind of has been that way, but there was a guy who had the official name, and I don't know. It just seems like that's the route they're going.
Well, and it's different this year too, because you look at the first 2 years under Campbell and the continuity of the staff, you know, not just in those 2 years, but in the decade plus before when they, you know, were all together at Toledo. You take Tom Manning out of there, and like, how does that affect that whole process?
Yeah.
Like, is this just a, hey, this is kind of how we were doing it anyway, so let's not pretend that we have an offensive coordinator? Is this Campbell trying to fill the void of a guy that, you know, just got a big job in Indianapolis with the Colts?
Yeah.
And not maybe trust is not the right word, but not having the level of familiarity with the new guys that have taken the place. I don't really know what to make of it, and I think, given the way that it played out with the way Campbell hired his staff initially, where I think he put himself out on a limb a little bit, just basically bringing everybody over, that he gets the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he's doing. But like, if the offense sputters in the first couple of games, it's going to be pretty easy to point a finger at, why are you doing this different than everybody else and it's not working?
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. I think that they've got a lot of talent there, but I'm not convinced that the offense is going to be setting the world on fire. I need to see some line play. And, you know, I feel like I really do feel like our friend and colleague Randy Peterson has unfairly characterized my thoughts on Kyle Kemp. I don't think Kyle Kemp sucks. I don't think he has a noodle arm. I don't think any of this. What I've said is, if Iowa State football wants to get to a point where it's exceeding expectations again, so that's not winning 7 games, that would be winning 9 games, they have to be better on offense. They have to be better up front, and they have to be able to stretch the field more consistently than Kemp's arm allowed them to do a year ago. And I don't think that's being overly critical. I think that's being fair and not settling for 6-6 with the program. Where do you land on it?
Well, I'm trying to figure out a way to stoke the rivalry here between you and Randy a little more, because I enjoy it so much. But I'm with you. I think the more important thing than arm strength of Kyle Kemp, though, is that offensive line.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
That, I think, is priority one for a lot of different reasons. Number one, to give David Montgomery a little bit of breathing room. It'd be fun to watch him actually have holes to run through rather than having to juke his way and run over defenders in the backfield on his way to 100 yards a game. So that'll be huge. And then protecting Kemp as well. But if you don't have a complement to that running game, it makes things a lot harder on your offense. And if Kemp is not going to be able to stretch the field, that's going to constrain what Iowa State's offense can do. Now, there's different ways to stretch the field. If you hit a guy on a slant or a quick hitter and he gets the right block, maybe that's enough to really open things up. But you're every step those safeties can walk up the line.
Absolutely.
It's going to make your life more difficult. So, I'm sure Kyle Kemp is stronger than he was last year. I don't know that you really move the needle much in terms of arm strength, throwing a football when you're, what, 24, 25 years old? I think you probably are what you are.
I'm with you completely. And I think the one thing that him adding 15 pounds or whatever, it makes him more durable
100%
throughout the season.
That's a huge plus.
Yeah, and he went last year, and I got to talk to him a little bit about this in Dallas. He'd never really taken hits before. Like, I mean, he had in high school.
Yeah, it's hard to take hits when you're on the sideline.
Yeah, but think about that. It's like anything. Like, until you do it, you know, it's just not the same. And all of a sudden, he went from being a scout team guy for 4 years, 5 years,
to starting in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The fourth-ranked team in the country.
And if you remember, like, how West Virginia's defense plays, I mean, that's not a fun place to play. And he was getting killed in that game. And he probably had some really uncomfortable ice baths last year. And I do think that he's more aware of that going into this year. But I'm with you. I don't think that he wakes up and has this, like, Brett Favre of a cannon all of a sudden. The one thing that stood out to me, and I don't know if you were there for the open practice or not, but the group that stood out to me, there are two groups, but they kind of blend together as one. The wide receivers and the tight ends at Iowa State are massive. Their tight end group goes 6'7", 6'6", 6'6". And Campbell noted that Chase Allen's put on like 25-some pounds.
Did you see him today?
He's a freak.
He looks huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a string bean a year and 2 years ago, even more so.
Yeah.
I saw him walk in today, and I had to remark to the person standing next to me,
yeah,
oh my God, Chase Allen looks huge.
Yeah, that's always my favorite part about this open practice. They're not doing anything of substance, but you can look at the guys and you go, wow, he got a lot bigger. That guy lost a lot of weight. And Allen just popped to me. Like, I had to double take when I saw him.
He's got long hair now, too. I was like, is that Chase Allen? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's Chase Allen.
He looks great. Did you see the Charlie Kolar, the freshman?
I missed it. No.
Jeez. He's a monster, too. And then, like, their group of wide receivers, and you have to be careful because we haven't seen most of these guys produce on the field. There's a lot of guys who look really good. We've seen them at Iowa State before. They look really good, but when it comes to production, it's just not there. This group of guys, I really think that they could take like their fifth or sixth string tight end, or excuse me, wide receiver, and it would have started for any team in the Rhodes era. Like, would have been an actual starter. I think that Milton, I think they've got Matthew Eaton. He's battling for a starting spot right now. There's no doubt in my mind, like, the only Rhodes guy, maybe Bundridge and definitely Lazard, would have played over him. But they're very deep there, and like, then you come, how do you develop these guys and how do you use them? But man, do they pass the eye test.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You think back to that, the previous regime, the guys that had playing were pipsqueaks.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, you had a bunch of Josh Lenses and Trevor Ryans.
These guys are all 6'6".
Yeah, and that's been, you know, you talk to Campbell and you talk to Golish and all those guys, like, that's what they've prioritized at that position is size and speed. Mm-hmm. And they, at least from the physical attributes side, have hit home runs all across the board. And I think what we've seen from guys like DeShonte Jones and Akeem Butler is that they've got the skill to match. And that's why I think you got to be really excited if you're an Iowa State fan about what that group can bring. You know, if Kemp can throw it down the field to him.
That's the key. It always seems like, I mean, a lot of Iowa State fans listening will probably understand this. When it comes to offense here, that there's always one piece that's just not there. Back in the middle 2000s with McCarney, they had a great quarterback. They had a great receiver. I think Stevie Hicks was a pretty good running back. The line was garbage. That line did not block for Stevie Hicks for the life of it. You even think back to Seneca. There were always just tiny little holes throughout the Rhodes era. They really struggled to recruit quarterbacks. I mean, they were really bad at that position for quite some time. And you look at this line, this team, and I do think the only real questions on offense is, can that offensive line go from being below average, which they were. I thought they got worse last year. I thought they were better Campbell's first year, which is hard to believe considering they were playing like three walk-ons at the end of it. They got to go from that to being good. Can't be average. Got to be good with Kemp's arm and all that. And then Kemp has to, you know, expand his game a little bit, and they could be a pretty good offense. Other than that, the only other thing I wanted to talk about was, what does it say about me? So we had about 20 minutes with Campbell. I asked two questions about the kickers and the offensive line. What in the hell's happened to me?
Nothing good. I mean, I guess we do have to give you credit and a begrudging shout-out to our colleague Tommy Birch, who could not be here because he had the birth of his son yesterday. So congratulations to him and Allison.
And a shout-out to Brody?
Bodie.
And I thought it was Brody.
Bodie.
Like Bodie Birch.
From, like, Point Break.
I love it. Bodie Birch. That sounds great.
So, I mean, normally Birch is the one that asks about kickers and everybody stops paying attention for a minute. So I appreciate you stepping into the void there.
Shout out to Birch.
The offensive line, I mean, that's the question mark. But, yeah, I mean, like, if those were the two bullets that you shot, and they were both boring bullets. So you're getting old.
I'm getting to be
that guy. We're no longer the youngest people on this beat. We're very much in the middle of the pack, and it's only going in one direction, my friend.
Not even close, and I said this to Rob. So, you know, in the media scrum, we're all a bunch of degenerates. And somebody was cussing. I don't remember who it was. It might have been me.
And I remember a lot of candidates for that.
Yeah. And I looked up. And I thought it was like, I thought somebody had their child at the thing. And I was like, oh no, like, they just cussed in front of that kid. And it's one of the student reporters. And I was like, I felt so terrible. And I'm like, my God, how old did we become? And when did this happen?
And then you probably had an expletive in there in one of those thoughts.
Yeah, probably. All right, Hines, good stuff. As always, thank you for your contributions to the program.
As always, it's my pleasure.